Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1103. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, it's the time of year when we have lots of sports on, couple of champion, well, one championship going on at least with the Major League Baseball. All kinds of other shenanigans happening, and hey, we still have professional wrestling happening too. It does not have an off season like all those other sports. 365 days a year, and this was no different. Even with all of the travel between Perth, Australia, and Tokyo, at least
Yeah.
Japan. I can't remember if they went to other cities or not on that tour, but hey, at least enough of the crew was back for SmackDown stateside here this past week from San Jose, California. Smart planning on their player part to at least be on the West Coast.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
And boy, it's almost weird that Corey Graves being welcomed back was almost as big as the segment with Cody Rhodes that followed it.
Corey Graves is back. Wow. Yeah.
Well, and I mean the Cody Rhodes segment didn't. It's just like, yep, I'm waiting for my next challenger here. Just
Yeah,
like,
there
oh,
was there really wasn't
okay.
much to Cody. Yeah, this second reign has been very underwhelming so far. It just, I mean, the lack of heels is a part of it. I go back and forth with how I feel about Cody as, this QB1 top face.
I
It
just
does feel like ever since they started actually saying QB1, it feels like he's lost something. It just, I just.
it's kind of wild just because he it does kind of feel at a minimum either he's been eclipsed by other people already as they've started to
Yeah.
call him QB1 where even with Jay pooling what he's been pooling here recently. I still feel like he's more with the crowd.
Yeah, he is. There's just this disc. There's just this disconnect with Cody that's forming. He still gets his share of cheers and whatnot, but. He definitely feels like someone who's peaked.
Uh-oh.
And for sure. And again, the issues of not really having a large, group of opponents to work with on the heel side. And not yeah, and just a lot of his, I've always felt the suits were a detriment to him. He overcame it for the longest time, but now it's just like this isn't what people think is cool. This isn't what anyone, he does look like he's out there to be Mr. TKO, the TKO champion. And Drew McIntyre has even said it out loud. And again, you probably shouldn't say things like that out loud because it does start ringing true in people's ear that, for all his talk, he's not really the people's champion. He's the company champion. Again, he already overcame all of his obstacles to become champion. And now it's just, they're just kind of on repeat with him. And it coming back to the same opponent, repeatedly is all it also, as I said, it's not helping.
No, and yeah, there's just it, Yeah, there's been no one new at the top of the card. Even with as much shuffling as the WWE has done without, having an official draft. Because
Right.
have we gone a full calendar year or close to a year without a
I think
draft
we've
now?
gone, yeah, we've definitely gone close. If, we're probably well over a year.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, hold on, I feel like we kind of passed the year mark at some juncture here. So yeah, it's kind of weird, but I mean, they have been like, oh, I got traded here because of blah blah blah. I mean, they have ex
Yeah.
at least explained these moves on TV when they've made them, and they still, and I guess the main point of that was that they still haven't been able to find an opponent for Cody, like you said. Like, that's kind of that's the main thing, is, yeah, he needs someone interesting to fight, and a lot of the other top card feuds have been more interesting, even if they haven't had a belt involved.
Yeah, that's very true. And in the title situation on Raw, even before all the chaos with Seth Rollins, was more interesting. And yeah, a
Oh,
number of
yes.
other things going on are more interesting than he is. The feeling I had that Crown Jewel Perth had peaked well before he came out for his match, and his match felt the most underwhelming, in spite of being technically well wrestled for the most part,
No.
and with another major star. His match with McIntyre I felt like was just didn't just it didn't feel like a main event after everything we'd already seen that had already been seen on the show. It didn't. I mean, part of the problem will, I guess, fix itself after December, that everything John Cena's involved in will feel bigger than anything else on the show.
That'll help Cody quite a bit, or really pretty much the whole roster.
Right. And I, and again, I've mentioned this repeatedly. I worry they feel like the answer is going to be turn Randy Orton heel, and we're going to get a Becky Lynch Charlotte Flair situation where the crowd is just not having it.
Oh yeah, and I think we have to, and you kind of touched on it a little bit. Yeah, have Cody go corporate heel.
Yeah, I
He
think
can keep on
it is
dressing
time. It
in
is
the
coming up on
suits.
time.
I love the suits personally, but I also believe your point in that that's not really the cool thing. Like, there's a reason all the guys that are, I would say, more over than him, don't dress like that.
Yeah, very much so. But he could, again, he could be the heel. He could. And it freshens everything up. It gives him matches with Orton, Punk. You could go back to Roman Reigns again with the with the
This
roles
reverse
reversed.
dynamic,
And
yeah. Yeah, that probably would be the best play, honestly, for Cody at the current moment. So yeah, in general too, I agree with you. Like, his it's it, yeah, his championship has just been put on the back burner for a lot of other things, and yeah, it's really hurt the reign. So that's probably why his segment on SmackDown was not terribly interesting there, because yeah, we're still just waiting.
and it's just, again, the route they were taking to get there, with it being McIntyre and Jacob Fatu, who hasn't really beaten anyone, hasn't really beaten anyone in a singles match lately.
Yeah, like they keep on putting Drew in these spots, which is understandable, but it's also like, hey guys, we kind of know the record at this point. This guy really is, Like, he spent the last 2+ years in this character at this point
Yeah.
about being screwed over. The man is really not won a big match in quite a while at this point. And yeah, and Fatu is the same way. Like, he was new enough where it's just like, oh, why's he get this already? And honestly, that was one of the weirder things. Knowing, I felt like going into the SmackDown, I knew that Fatu was going to be out for a non-wrestling related injury, and I was pretty amazed, honestly, that things got as far as they did. Like, it was interesting to me that him and Cody had a stare down, or had a little segment together a little bit later in the evening. Because I'm like, why are you setting this up if you know that he's going to be out for, at least from the way people are describing it, 6 months at a minimum?
No. It was until early 2026, and then there's reports saying that
Oh.
he will be he would be able to make Survivor Series after all.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not see those updates.
There was this weird
Okay.
run of stories that originated from that did originate from Meltzer that he then had to go back and retract later. Most notably, the silly story about WWE replacing its writing team with AI.
Oh my gosh. Well,
It's not
the joke.
entirely that it's not entirely true, and that they're just using it for support things, not actually writing the show. So that's a big one. That's like a big Meltzer miss right there to not understand what that story actually was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised if they're using it for those types of reasons.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, I'm wondering if Meltzer's been getting some supposed scoops more lately than he has, but I'm also wondering if this is WWE running some type of a stooge test for their employees as well.
Oh man, I suppose that could be the case. So okay, I guess that if Fatu isn't going to be gone as long as I had in mind,
Right.
that makes a little more sense why him and
But
Cody had this segment.
we might as well fast forward to the end of SmackDown here. Jacob Fatu found in a pool of blood with supposedly literal teeth sprawled all over the floor. Unable to compete. Drew McIntyre and apparently unable to identify his assailant or assailants. Drew McIntyre demanding to be win the match by forfeit. Although he denies being the one who attacked Jacob Fatu. And then Cody Rhodes comes out in said full suit, saying that he knows Drew McIntyre actually did it. Which is interesting because when someone throws out an accusation like that, it usually ends up meaning that they were the one who they end up being the perpetrator.
yeah, that can happen.
So
That
that's
definitely can happen.
that is interesting. But Cody Rhodes said he would def he basically said he'll face Drew McIntyre right now for the championship. So then Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes have an First, an all-out brawl into the crowd, as no bell has been rung at this point. So they fight all the way through the commercial break, end up in the ring. The referee does call for the bell, but we don't get like the championship graphic or anything, and the announcers are confused as to whether or not this match was a
An
title match or
actual,
not.
an officially sanctioned through
But of
Nick
course, this all
Aldis.
proves to be a moot point because Cody Rhodes uses the ring bell on Drew McIntyre in a somewhat maybe arguably cowardly fashion to get out of this, and gets hit with legitimate boos for his actions.
I mean, the makings are there if they want to go heel route with Cody.
They are there, and of course the show ends with a pull apart brawl between, and another pull apart brawl between Cody and Drew. And earlier today, actually, just not that long ago, Nick Aldis made the match official, the title match official for Saturday Night's Main Event on November 1st.
Yeah, we got a Saturday night's main event, getting a couple of world championships, so that they don't have to compete with John Cena in his final match the next
Yeah,
Saturday
yeah,
night's
yeah.
main event.
Well, so they can have a show without John Cena.
And
And
so
I
they can
guess
have a show
and I
without
guess
John
Roman Reigns
Cena.
seems to be nowhere to be found during this hype up to Saturday Night's Main Event as well.
He had to go the whole way to Perth. He gets a couple of months
Yeah.
off here.
And speaking of someone who went to Perth and did get some time off, Michael Cole not broadcasting SmackDown this week. Getting that rare day off for him. I believe this now adds up to the third day off he's ever gotten or something like that.
Yeah, that one was kind of wild when I was just, 'cause I started watching it Sunday night, and I'm like, hold on, why is Vic Joseph introducing the show? Yeah, we mentioned Corey Graves, and we kind of forgot about didn't mention the fact that Michael Cole took his third day off in like 25 years.
Yeah. But you know what? He went all the way to Perth and he did all three shows, so you know, it was a well-earned time off.
Oh yeah, I am only jokingly gonna bust Michael Cole's balls at this point for not announcing that show. I would be pretty surprised given his work ethic that he will be back on the SmackDown call this week. I'm not sure if they made that completely clear or not, but McIntyre Rhodes definitely. I guess that'd be an interesting time to have things switch. I don't know if you
Yeah.
can pull off the double switch. I mean, Drew McIntyre has always had some level of popularity, so I'm not sure if you can call it a double switch, honestly. I mean, again, you could probably go that route with Cody, should you want to. The first actual match of the night. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss taking on Zarya and Sol Ruka. It was interesting that they gave Zaruka an out for this loss.
They
With
did.
Blake Monroe being at ringside causing a
Yes.
distraction
And
for
then
both
they
members.
did the yeah, I'm not certain what exactly is going on with Sol Ruka. I don't know if we want to dip it too much into NXT, but it seems that they're because after the loss, in a moment you don't usually see, they had Charlotte, Alexa, and Zarya all help Sol Ruka to the back with what appeared to be an injured knee or ankle. And it appears that for the purposes of NXT, they are at least playing the injury off as legitimate.
Was unaware of that part of things, as I am not nor have watched any part of NXT. And honestly, I kind of forgot about that part of things. about the about them carrying her out. So, yeah, I've found it pretty crazy that they gave the championships to Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair so that they'd have something to do, and it's kind of funny. I don't feel like they've had much to do.
No, they're just kind of defending the belts randomly.
Yeah, I don't feel their appearances, they're a little more frequent than when they were both in the singles division. It's still kind of a weird run for those two after getting the initial odd couple pop. Something I did not see last week, but got a TV vignette this week. Aleister Black with his real life Zelina Vega, in hopes that either of them can get out of the mediocrity that they're in currently.
Well, they say two is better than one, and the whole is greater than its parts or what have you, and this might be that situation. Zelina Vega hasn't been going anywhere for a pretty long time, even with attempts at a push earlier this year, obviously. And Aleister Black has not exactly been burning things up here either, as his kind of underwhelming feud with Damian Priest just kind of limped along.
So let's keep well, maybe not keep the fingers crossed, but we'll keep things keep an eye on that. Up next, The Miz apparently is going to challenge for the U.S. Open or U.S. Title. He ends up getting jumped by one Carmelo Hayes, so that does not end up happening. And lo and behold, as noted already, I did not watch this show on time. And I did know that Ilya Dragunov came back. Was
Yes.
quite surprised that he is the one that ends up ending Sami Zayn's U.S. title run.
Yeah, no, that was maybe a little surprising, but I guess that's the thing with these open challenges. Eventually someone's gotta pull it out, and it's just one match too many. Well, for the champion. Now, again, of course, good match. I mean, I don't think that's really huge breaking news there. And he said it was that Ilya Dragunov gets the win, followed, of course, by the attack and beat down by Solo and the MFTs.
Yeah, and all of the MFTs being back together and attacking more than one person, boy, I'm like, do I have the wafting smell of a War Games match, perhaps now involving the MFTs? Considering that that isn't that
God,
pay-per-view
I
that's
hope
about to
not.
bend?
Yeah, that I would still imagine the Vision is going to have to be involved in this, even though there's only two of them now. And they're gonna have to involve Roman and the family, and they wouldn't do that with Solo again.
Oh,
So yeah, I don't
yeah.
think that's where this is all going, because this War Games has to be a main event thing, and these guys aren't main event.
They are not. So yeah. It's yeah, that was just something that like I said, I kind of caught a waft of it, but that was also holding me back from really being like, oh, they're really going that route, because yeah, the MFT's just not really doing much for anyone, honestly.
No, it really
Still.
isn't. It definitely feels like we're getting a retread of a retread here, and just there's just no way to evolve Solo and his crew.
Oh yeah, until, and I think we talked about it last week, until Solo's truly heads and shoulders above his stable mates, it's just a tough sell. Like, they need to be a cohesive group with certain aspirations, at least, even if one of them ends up being a taking L's left and right. You know, you gotta at least have a Judgment Day kind of situation where the tag, at least you have the tag team championships to
Right.
prove the group's worth. And that does not appear to yet be in the cards. Because yeah, it was kind of interesting. Speaking of tag teams, one of the few times did not mind the backstage segment this week with the Motor City Machine Guns and Los Garza, as it might have been the most enlightening segment for both of them to have on TV in quite some time. I mean, it's nothing to write home
Again,
about, but
nothing. There's
it's
nothing
something.
here. This, this the these same teams on SmackDown have to just keep wrestling each other over and over again.
Yeah, it is pretty
That
wild
TLC
because
match meant at SummerSlam meant absolutely nothing for anybody.
well, didn't it get the Street Profits the championship match at least? Or was that the championship match?
That was a championship match. I think they've had two other chances since then, and they lost those two.
And they still haven't broken them up, as far as I know, because I did not watch what I have missed here. Oh, the previous week's SmackDown. So, you kind of brought them up there, and I did as a sideways kind of thing. Division does end up starting us off on Monday Night Raw here. Well, technically Adam Pearce started us off, and in the Division ends up showing up and bringing the actual heavyweight championship belt with them.
Yes, they had the World Heavyweight Championship belt with them. Adam Pearce announces a battle royal and then demands the belt back from Bron Breakker, who refuses to hand it back to Adam Pearce unless he asks nicely. After a couple of tries, Adam Pearce finally says please, and then in his own version of a power move, Breakker takes the belt, hands it to Paul Heyman to be the one to hand it to Adam Pearce. And then the segment was over.
I honestly, it was kind of, this is the one where it's always a little bit weird when I start watching Raw live and see this segment afterwards. Because Adam Pearce turning down Braun and Bronson for the Battle Royal itself. Honestly, I was expecting much worse out of them.
Yeah, this was a very underwhelming start to whatever this is. They just kind of
They
bent over
acted
it
like dickheads, and then so that caused them to be out of the
in
battle
yeah,
royal?
I mean,
Like,
to put it
huh?
crudely, they inevitably they bent over and took it, basically. They didn't interrupt, they didn't do anything backstage, they didn't interrupt the battle royal. They did not do anything. I know they did the segment with Heyman where he was like telling he was basically telling them to be patient, but this situation didn't really call for patience from them. We needed a hot angle at the start for this. And we didn't really get that. That's so
Yeah,
that, that
or
that's interesting how it's interesting how little they did on this on the show.
yeah, the one thing that they could have done without, doing some type of an attack angle like that is go back over and kiss Adam Pearce's ass. Dude, if he does the please line on Braun Breaker rather than Paul Heyman, it makes a lot more sense. And
It does, but it definitely makes Bron Breakker look weak, though. But again, this just doesn't. It's. I you know you I thought for sure that, by whatever means they were going to choose to get to Punk's opponent at Saturday's main event, it was going to be Bron Breakker, and they were going to strap this strap him to the moon, and that's not what happened. It's very interesting, that very inter I think I've used this phrase before. Very interesting how not interesting it was.
Yeah, that's a great summation of what happened
Because
there.
this really needed a strong follow-up, and we didn't get it. And you're the guy you were expecting to build everything around, at least on Raw for the next 6 months, is gone. You did the big desperation or whatever you want to call it play last week, and then Breaker and Reed were kind of neutered on this show. As I said, they just took it. Pierce gave them their punishment, and they just took it.
And if they would have thought that Breaker going to get a spot in there would have made him feel too weak, there needed to be some type of, play for them to either be involved in the matchup itself or to find themselves as the next number one contender, to whomever wins that matchup. Like you said, they had the Paul Heyman segment in there, but they really needed to even do more with that segment, or have some type of follow up on it. So yeah, it was a weird night for the Bronze and the Vision in general on Monday Night Raw. I feel like they did a good job of setting up the parameters and why everything happened. It was really strange, honestly, that Becky Lynch, who is still, I think, getting booed.
She is still a heel, but again, this is a hole that has to be filled here. Since we've gone to the lengths of having her be part of the Vision, and so she had to confront Paul Heyman, and it was a very weird, whiplash effect of where she was just in the previous segment with Maxxine Dupri, and then essentially cutting a face promo in the next segment with Heyman. Yeah, very weird.
That was the part that really caught me, whereas in some ways you could understand it just because they hadn't really had her in a lot of Vision segments. And honestly, when she was more the focus was on Seth looking at her like she was a crazy woman. More
And
than Paul Heyman, too.
again, I mean, I know the idea was that Maxxine Dupri was getting the better of her, so she got herself potentially disqualified so they can set up a yet another match between these two at some point.
Oh.
But man, this is a weird decision of what to do with Becky here. Just that part alone, that we're dragging out this deal with Maxxine Dupri of all people. Whatever happened to AJ Lee has signed a full-time contract.
Oh yeah, she has gone away, and even the references to her have for the most part gone away. It's a weird spot. Women's division still a weird place in general.
It yeah there's yeah there's certainly some quite a bit of weirdness going on.
Oh man. So yeah, the Becky Lynch stuff was kind of wild. Just because, like you said, like of the waffling back and forth and basically back-to-back segments, was not surprising. But also, the Judgment Day feud with Dominic Mysterio, is this going to last until we shut down the website?
I guess so. Maybe they're just trying to wait until Liv Morgan returns for it to finally, reach a climax here, but man, is this dragging.
Holy, yeah, it's like they remember it but don't really fully commit one way or the other, and it still feels that way where they're kind of mad at Dom but they're not really mad at Dom. It's
Yeah.
just like, okay, can we like just go one way or the other with this whole situation? And yeah, Roxanne Perez defending him again, it's just like, I don't know, is Liv coming back soon? I feel like it's kind of been a while and maybe she's ready. I don't really count them.
Yeah.
I don't have like a calendar of when Liv Morgan's going to come back, but it feels like even longer term injuries tend to remedy themselves at this juncture. I guess speaking of Judgment Day, they are definitely lighter in the gold department due to Dominic Mysterio, as Finn Balor and JD McDonagh drop the championships to AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, which this felt like this was coming as soon as the idea was even on TV.
Yeah, definitely. And this is definitely a part of the AJ Styles Lifetime Achievement Award collection he might be embarking on before his he bids his final adieu in 2026.
This definitely seems to be part of it. I was unsurprised to see that what was this? This was only their second or third title defense in 100+ days of having the
I think it was
championships
something like
since.
second, maybe. Yeah, I think it was like second, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if they had said that they had two previously or that was number two. Either or. It's a paltry number.
Right.
I feel like that answers the question that we may have spoken into the microphones recently about how many title matches they've had recently on this run. That part of Judgment Day loses their titles. Dominic Mysterio ends up retaining against Rusev yet again, and the man just continues. Is he getting to have more tricks than Eddie Guerrero at this point?
Yeah, you could certainly say that.
That man is definitely. I'm not sure if he's lying. He's definitely cheating and he's definitely stealing some matches. So, the legend of Dominic Mysterio continues to build here.
Yeah.
Already talked about Becky and Maxine. Hand the segment afterwards. Hey, yeah, another women's match here. Stephanie Vaquer taking on Roxanne Perez in a non-title match. Was not completely surprised. They put Roxanne into the we want to have a really good match on TV, but you're going to take the L here.
And this was not as good of a match as you had thought. There were definitely some timing issues here and some, just neither, but particularly maybe Stephanie Vaquer, for whatever reason, not on their best here. They're, the failed bridge out and a couple other,
I'd call them
a couple of awkward
uncharacteristic
spots,
mistakes.
uncharacteristic mistakes and awkward spots here. But Stephanie Vaquer, something of a hot finish, got built two, with Raquel being neutralized, and then finally Vaquer getting Roxanne in her finish and winning the match, but then getting attacked 2-on-1 until out comes Nikki Bella to make the save. And then again, yet again, just uncharacteristic mistakes on behalf of Stephanie Vaquer, whiffing the springboard drop kick pretty badly.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's one that maybe I'm gonna go, this is what all that travel does to you.
Yeah, there could be definitely be something to that, yes.
Yeah,
But thankfully, one Nikki Sawa was there to save the day with
Nikki
her
Sawa.
with her stiff forearm blows, showing these spot monkeys how to how real strong style is executed.
It does seem like it felt like this was gonna be a possibility for a while, some type of Nikki Bella tag match against the Judgment Day, and it's
Like that looks
finally
like we're
coming
gonna
to
we're,
fruition.
I and but I think we're definitely getting that tag match. And I also could very well see a Nikki Bella heel turn in the in the offing as well.
Yeah, that'd be just fine. The
Yeah,
women's
she
division
has always been better
definitely.
as a heel, and she's wrestled 90% of her career as a heel. And the hey, yay, Nikki's back ha has worn off. So yeah, let's get down to the real business and re remember who she, let's remember who she actually was for the most for most of her career, as I said.
Let's cut down to brass tacks here. And then Battle Royal was the main event. Really the story of the Battle Royal to end up fighting CM Punk at the aforementioned Saturday night's main event was Jimmy Uso saves Jay a couple of times during the match. And the first time that Jey Uso has a chance to dump his brother out the ring, he does it, along with LA Knight, mind you.
Again, not the biggest fan of this whole thing, but apparently we're gonna get at least another week, a week and a half of it, because Jey Uso, the new quote unquote new attitude, Jey Uso will be facing CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship at Saturday night's main event. Again, just I would have, I would have bet money that it was to be Bron Breakker in this match, but for whatever reason, they've decided to slow down the rocket strapping that we thought we saw last week. And again, kind of fairly baffling decision, because this show really called for, some hot angles here to really, get us fully transition us away from Seth, and that's not what we got here. And we kind of got this, baby face versus baby face, but one of the baby faces is, going through something apparently.
And they've made a deal out of it. But the thing is, to me, when you basically make up with your brother every segment, then after having a fight, it doesn't make you feel very heelish. Like,
Yeah,
like it.
and to me, this whole rigmarole we're going through, it just feels like it's just going to lead us back to, Roman and the Usos fully back together, heading into Survivor Series War Games, and it's just going to just be like, what was the point of all of this?
Yeah, that's gonna be weird and awkward when that happens.
Because I don't think anyone's actually going heel here.
No, I mean it would seem wild to do that.
Yeah.
Because
And again, I don't
unlike
understand.
Cody, they haven't worn out their welcome in that department.
No. And it's, Jey Uso's the kid's hero, and some of those kids might be kind of confused right now. This has not been a we it's again, this is it's just been a very strange way to go about all of this. And I don't even know exactly what all of this is. It just
Oh.
doesn't it, it, there just there did not need to be any dissension amongst Roman and the Usos. That it just they're it feels like they just believed for whatever reason that heading into like a big team thing, the face team just has to have all sorts of drama surrounding it, and
Oh.
that's not the way all things always need to be. In fact, that's probably the way not the way things need to be the majority of the time.
I feel like that is aligned with what I talked about before, which is that it always makes sense when heels bicker. Baby faces in general should get along with each other. And
Yeah.
so yeah, really really weird spot to have them kind of being all wedged apart in one way or another. Only to bring them back
Again, and
together
I mean,
in
and
a
I
month.
mentioned it earlier that I mentioned it quite a few times that in this whole deal, LA Knight going heel makes the most sense. But we would drag this out for so long, and then he was essentially a non-factor in the finish of the Battle Royal. Well, I mean, he was tangled up with Jimmy, but so again, we're not really protecting him here.
And
Just
no.
a strange situation that they've concocted with these baby faces on Raw, and it's not it really made for that much that kind of strong TV. I don't think anyone want like again, no one wants to see anything involving Roman or the Usos wrestling each other again. So yeah, this all seems
Oh.
stupid. This all just seems stupid and pointless.
Yeah.
And you combine all that with, having to write off Seth and then doing a poor follow-up to the writing off of Seth. It's not exactly we're not exactly having a golden stretch of television here.
Yeah, it's that helps shake things up as far as things feeling a little stale. But like you said, when you don't follow it up, you just are like, oh yeah, things are still stale. It's very easy for that to happen. I forget what transition I was just going to use because there was something in there that made me think about it. I figure Jeremy and I might go over things a little bit more from AEW Wrestle Dream, even though none of us ordered the pay-per-view. It has now become infamous, Chris. So I feel like I need to ask anyway. What is your hottest take on Darby Allin being drowned in a aquarium during the I Quit match?
I don't want to be a wrestling Karen or anything, but how far are we going to go with shit? What is Warner Brothers Discovery's tolerance level to all of this? Because I don't believe that AEW has some uncancelable contract with Warner Brothers Discovery that WWE, if they got upset enough about something, couldn't pull the plug. I don't believe any television, they always talk about these television contracts and like being like ironclad or whatever, but I refuse to believe that any television network would or streaming service would have no clause in the contract that didn't allow would have a clause no clause in the contract
To get out
that
of it.
didn't allow them to get out of this.
Yeah.
This is maybe one of the dumbest spots I think I've ever heard of. I still haven't actually watched it. I have no desire to. It just sounds so stupid that an aquarium just magically appeared on in the ring.
Yeah, I don't know. I like you, I didn't even watch the segment. I just heard it and I'm just like, okay. I just brushed it off. Like this is, like you said, just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. Is it I don't know. I would imagine some schmuck on the indies has done something like this. Again, I don't think any of us that record on the site here are really. We've definitely phased out of the hardcore matches. Evidently, John Moxley and everyone else within AEW has not. And yeah, they keep on doing it. And I would think at some juncture that this would impact, at a minimum, it should impact negotiations at some point, where just from the simple standpoint of if the wrestlers within AEW keep on trying to step up the violence level, there's going to be a point where someone's going to complain about it.
Yeah.
Or
I'm
at
shocked
least
we haven't reached
enough.
that point already.
Yeah, or at least enough people that are important enough to the purse strings are going to complain about it, and changes are going to happen. So it's a weird thing that they got going on over there. So yeah, figured we could fit that one in before moseying on out of here, because I don't think
Yeah.
there's really any WWE news. Belltime Beer got this last year when I was on vacation with the family. Smart Mouth Brewing Company, Notch 9 Double IPA. They are out of Virginia Beach. They have a couple of locations, if I'm not mistaken. They have some very, very good beer. This Notch 9 happens to be, I think, one of their flag, not think, it's definitely one of their flagship beers, and it was probably my favorite beer there. So should you find yourselves in Virginia Beach, go and find some Smart Mouth Brewing. They have some very, very good beers. So that is the Belltime Beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango11. The brand is That Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And download us at any other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.